Football doing your head in this summer? Well, L'Oréal Paris has your back. Or should we say your hair? Because every missed goal, foul, penalty and minute of extra time, and don't even get us started on VAR, leads to stress, and stress leads to hair loss. Elvive Growth Booster fights hair loss, so you can keep your hair on whatever the score. L'Oréal Paris Elvive Growth Booster. Keep calm and keep your hair on. Shop now at Amazon Boots and major supermarkets.
From Prime Video, the all-new sequel Your Fault London is finally here.
You know what I want?
Well, you're gonna have to come get it.
New starts.
Don't forget about me when you're at Oxford.
New friends.
Nick wanted to keep us a secret.
It's a bit toxic, no?
New threats.
You two hang out a lot?
She's just a colleague.
You need to figure out what your priorities are.
Get ready for Your Fault London. New movie. Watch now, only on Prime Video.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Welcome back to Pendragon Under an Iron Sky here on the Glass Cannon Network. And look, I've seen the comments, I've got the emails, but rest assured, I know that my last couple of cold opens haven't been my best work. But you know what? It's 6 a.m. here that I have to do these. So you know what? Someone else can do a cold open. Go on. Someone else do a funny thing.
You already did it. You already started.
No, yeah, this is no, let's pretend again. Like go, Rob. You're opening the thing.
Okay, well, here, I wanted to bring this up anyway, so this is a perfect opportunity.
Yeah,
okay.
On.
So I've been thinking about this game a lot. And I'm not saying that as like a shill. It's not like I've been sent a free copy of it. Really, I haven't been sent a free copy of it, Brian. If you could just go ahead
and PDF.
Thought we were close enough for that just to not just be a fucking PDF. Anyway, I've been thinking about it a lot because it's such a cool game. And coincidentally, I found out that I have a pathway potentially to Canadian citizenship via some great grandparents that came from Montreal.
Oh,
Lucky. The French, French Canadians. Gotta love being associated with those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I get on this one of these, not Ancestry.com. It's less Mormon, I think, but it's one of these like family tree sites or whatever. And I start to go back because I got to make sure that the line is unbroken for these three generations or whatever. Then I'm like, why don't I just, I'm going to keep going back. And I went all the way back until I got to fucking France and Normandy and like found all of these fucking knights in my lineage, all the way to like Edward the Elder, king of the fucking Anglo-Saxons?
What?
Whoa.
What? You hate the Saxons.
I am a Saxon. I believe.
Oh, that's right. You're the Saxon that we all hate.
There was another line that turned into like Vikings. So there's a Viking lord from like 970 AD.
Also perfect for Chaosium.
It's so great.
Because of ancient Vikings.
Here's where it ended. I went up some Viking line. All the way, I went so far back that it finally ended with Odin.
What? Are you being scammed?
It said Odin and Frigga, and I was like, that's what I thought all along.
Okay. So is this like one of those things where it's like, you know, we'll give you the first three for free. But if you want to go real far back, you got to pay $20. And it's kind of like how everybody at those I Know Who I Was in a Past Life convention was like, we were all Napoleon somehow.
Everybody's Cleopatra.
Listen, I'm doing what most white guys in their mid-50s do. I'm 10 years ahead and getting into this now, really figuring out what's going on. There's one guy that's fucking mentioning Beowulf. I've got some strong lineage here.
Okay.
Wow, you believe it's accurate.
And okay. I was thinking about it last night. And I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm like related to this fucking like Vikings. And then I put too many strawberries in my smoothie and I splashed milk all up on my face and my glasses. Like at that exact moment, I was like, the apple doesn't fall very far from the Viking tree.
You basically were a physical manifestation of that meme of like a wolf, like gnarly old historical wolf, and then like a puppy who's like rolled over with a toy in its mouth.
If I did that, it would just be like Yeah, my great-great-great-great-grandfather Barry O'Hara was found dead in the ditch. Like, it's not gonna be like somehow we all well, have like royal
connections.
You click
on these things, and for a while, it's just a lot of like, you know, like blue and pink for like the husband and wife or whatever. And then suddenly you get to a point where suddenly it's like a coat of arms, and you're like, wait a minute. And then you click on that, and all these coat of arms just go and like come out. So that's when you know you're on like that train will keep going. It was awesome.
Huh.
And that's the two days of my life.
Today's sponsor, not ancestry.com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I closed the window to have better internet connection, so I don't even know what the fuck it's like.
But if you want to have a real exciting coat of arms, you can pick up the Pendragon core rulebook. That's the main thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Rob, hold yours up so everyone can see.
Well, I was going to screen share it, but I closed the thing. There's a couple.
Yeah.
One's white and black. It's real sweet.
You can get 15.
Oh, wow. How'd you guys get those?
15 whole percentages off anything on the Pendragon line at chaosium.com using the code PENCANON3. That includes new stuff like the Pendragon GM screen pack, which is very cool. The Savage King campaign expansion, which we are maybe exploring a little bit of today. And it also includes the, what I assume at the time this episode airs, has been announced. And if not, you're getting the scoop. The Pendragon The Boy King campaign, which is the first part of the Great Pendragon campaign. It is 28 years of gameplay, taking you from just before Arthur drawing the sword all through the conquest period. And it obviously everyone's already seen the covers and it looks great and we're all very excited. However, that's coming out. That'll be at Gen Con and the street date is a couple of weeks after that. So you can hold on to your Pen Cannon 3 code if you want for a few more weeks and it'll be good to pick up that one as well. So that's how everyone's doing.
Okay. I guess that's what that's I have exciting. To do to get one of these books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So yeah, sure, Rob, that's how you can get 15% off.
Great.
That's a good way to do
it's
it.
It's all worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, other than that, is everybody raring to go? Are we all excited?
Hell yeah. I'm so pumped to reconnect with the mother of this changeling child.
That's in theory. Hey, what's Robert's character's name again? It's like
by Robert, do you mean me? Rob?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I said Rob's character's name. Robert?
I thought you said Robert, like the first time we met.
Robert Kirkovich. Yeah.
Your name is Robert?
It's Robert.
Elfwine.
I'll tell you, it's Elfwine. Elfwine Goblinsbane. Which is only slightly less cool than my actual ancestor, whose name was Pagan Payne Peverell.
Pagan Payne Peverell?
Yes. The LPPP. That's where he was.
You know?
He was a standard bearer for William the Conqueror's dad. No big deal, guys.
No big deal.
Wow. Skid, can you do this before next week? And we'll just compare notes.
Yeah, I've been meaning to go to a genealogist. Yeah. This is the kick in the pants I need. I'll have this right. Yeah.
Here's the thing is that if you go back far enough, it's going to be all of us. It'll be like...
Yeah, it was one guy.
Like everybody's connected
Adam,
at some point.
Here he is.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, he's no Odin.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, just stay tuned. We'll be back with Pendragon Under an Iron Sky right after this.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of The Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
Welcome back. We are playing Pendragon. I didn't even do that on purpose.
Someone needs to go to the bathroom.
Doing a break.
No. It was like a 30 second break. No one, the producer didn't say anything. So I was like, I'll just go for it. Sorry. But anyway, Rob's eating a sandwich. Or was it a muesli bar? What did you have last week? You're always eating something. What time is it where you are?
I burn so many calories being hilarious. Yeah. it's a turkey sandwich. It's very boring. There's not even like anything green on it. It's just dry turkey.
I had a sandwich earlier. That's so insane.
Maybe
we're related.
I guess.
Might be.
Gotta just look further back.
Every once in a while, you see my head do this.
Yeah.
Just ignore it.
Yeah. The things that you're missing if you're listening to this in audio only format. Mm-hmm. So last session, all of our knights heeded the call of Lady Gwynhilt. She had a dream, or at least she woke in the night, convinced that she knew where Thomas was. Thomas is missing specifically because of Dame Fiona's fuck-up.
Look, I'm sorry I dropped the ring. I'm sorry I dropped the magic ring in the hallway, okay?
It was a rock, actually. You're really...
Whatever it was. A rock.
Yeah, it was a magical a ring. Thing.
It was the size of... I totally fully remembered it as a ring. Like, even last session, I was like, yeah, that ring that we...
This is a different R word, yeah. And you arrived at the Forest Sauvage. Well, you went through to Oxford, and you met a very charming night watchman in Oxford who told you that the Forest Sauvage was, you know, ruled by a king and was growing, like, at an exponential rate. And you explored the Forest Sauvage. You narrowly avoided being attacked by a giant serpent.
Mm-hmm.
You found a village full of pig people. Remember that? Mutant pigmen, Jerry.
Yeah. That was great.
And that was a joke for the real heads at home.
Seinfeld joke.
Yeah, thank you. And that you've since emerged into this big clearing. There's this beautiful red keep, this huge castle, and the sun is truly shining through. The clouds have parted, and there's a moat around this castle. There is the smattering of a village out the front. And across on the drawbridge of the castle is a number of figures. There are two knightly looking men. They're certainly dressed as knights. One is dressed in blues and blacks and whites, and he has the regalia of the moon upon his shield. Mm-hmm. And the other is dressed in reds and oranges, and he has the regalia of a sun on his shield. Mm. They are very, very extremely handsome, classically handsome looking men. There's also, did I mention the dwarf last week? I can't remember if I mentioned the dwarf on the tail end. There is a dwarf. He's a dwarf, and he's got a little hat, and he's smiling. Yeah, there's a dwarf there.
Snoopy Winkles?
Then there is Snoopy Winkles is not a dwarf. He's just a funny little guy. Just a guy. Yeah. Were you picturing Snoopy Winkles? Did I say Snoopy Winkles was a dwarf at some point?
I assumed he was a dwarf.
Sometimes he stands up very tall. Yeah.
He's got lifts.
He just does it to make Joe's character jealous.
Well, he doesn't look like Snoopy Winkles, but you haven't spoken to him yet, so there's no way of knowing. And then there's this strikingly beautiful woman in a very long flowing dress with you know, long flowing blonde hair. And she's looking out at you and she's smiling and she says, "It is so good to see you again." And Dame Safina, Sir Caradoc, and Dame Fiona, while it might take a moment, but you do recognize her as Drusilla, which is a woman you were searching for in Modron's Forest some years ago for Lord Owen. Just as a brief recap, because this was either a year ago or several episodes ago
for those who
joined us.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name?
Hugin?
Hugin? Is that what I called him?
Hugin?
Yeah, maybe. Rob, who's... Well, you've watched all the episodes leading up to this to prepare, right? So, fucking hell.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, where are my notes?
You want me to just make them up if I go to my family tree?
Yeah, just pull someone out of your own family tree.
Sir Robert White of Swanbourne, Knight and Sheriff of Sussex and Surrey. Doesn't stop there, folks.
That was it.
Hugin. I have Hugin and his wife, Drusilla.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Hugin.
It must be H-U-G-A-N.
Hugin. Yeah, H-E-W-G-O-N is how I wrote it in my notes. But that's good. I just thought it was going to be like Steve or something. That's cool. Hugin. Yeah, Hugin's wife, Drusilla. And, you know, if you three would just like to share amongst yourselves, maybe out of character, a reminder of what you think happened there, that will also serve as a little recap for those who don't know or can't remember because it was a little while ago. Do you recall the events surrounding Hugin and Drusilla?
Yeah, I think they were married. They had a baby. Drusilla had postpartum depression, ran off into the woods. Hugin was mad about it and said, "This kid is a changeling." And we came to investigate. The baby had a tattoo. We went out into the forest. We found Drusilla and we're like, "Oh, she just has postpartum depression. We can't leave the baby with Hugin because he's not going to take care of it. He wants to kill it."
The baby made direct eye contact with you?
Yes, the baby made very direct eye contact with me. And we brought it home and said to the Lady Gwynhild, "You should care for this child, perhaps." And so she did.
That was pretty, pretty close. I want to make it clear that none of the characters like made like a psychology role and diagnosed her with postpartum depression.
That's what we would now.
Yeah.
Through our modern perspective that that's what was going on. That
they
was
would
not
have burned her
a
at
canon
the stake
for being
do you remember
a witch.
Do you remember what Drusilla was doing in the woods, though?
Was she like in the river or looking for the fairies or something?
She was like,
wasn't there? Wasn't there like a realm of fairies or something?
She was hoping to go away with the fairies. Literally, go away with the fairies.
Yeah.
And obviously, Sir Quiggin in particular was like, "Yeah, sure." But who's laughing now? Because here she is, and she's smiling, and she says, "It's so good to see all of you again."
What the hell's going on? What are you? This is
we
crazy.
We almost got killed by pig people.
How did you get here? We last saw you in Modron Forest.
What in Christ's name are you doing here?
Well, I'm living here with King Madog, of course.
With the dog?
Viola. King Madog.
All right.
Not a king dog. Why wouldn't I? The sky is shining. The castle is beautiful. The water is flowing freely. I'm here with my compatriots, the two gallants here, and the master dwarf. They wave at you.
And so you were looking for the fairies, and you found them then?
Well, surely a question like that is self-evident.
Well, And what's about
allow
Thomas?
Me to introduce myself.
Oh, sorry,
I, of course,
yes.
You don't know him.
We always forget he's here.
Not just a hanger-on. I am Sir Elfwine Goblinsbane, heterosexual knight at your service.
Yes, very into just the ladies and no one else.
Yeah, yes. Definitely not those handsome fellows flanking each side.
Oh,
of
I didn't
you.
Even see those chaps. Hello.
They both nod at you.
Yes. Yes.
Excitedly.
Yes. Anyway, what's the haps?
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, Sir Elfwine. And welcome to the realm of the King Savage.
Thank you.
Of course, you're visiting from... who is your liege lord?
Sir Robert.
Oh, yes. Well, you must come inside. You must be treated to the utmost respect, courtesy, and hospitality.
Robert, I suppose. Oh. Thank you. Now, Skid's character's name...
Come on, Paula.
My brain. Thank you. I'm jet lagged. Sakaradoc. Now, hospitality is very important here. I wrote that down. So, please don't live up to your reputation, right? If he wants to wear your robe, then let him.
I'm good at hospitality. And I don't like other people touching my robe. But if there's... Listen, it's obvious. It's like, this is a thing, all right, that happens in this era. We're going to be tested. Our virtue is going to be tested. So it'll be up to the challenge. You get invited into someone's house are going to be tested, especially when they're fairies.
Okay.
So,
all right.
All of us, be on our best behavior.
Right, and you...
No, not me.
No, yes, but you.
No, because I know what to do. The rest of you.
No, you don't. What? This is why we had to have that party at your place. Because you don't know what to do.
No, all right. I trust all of you. That's implicitly. That's why I'm calling you out. So we can do this.
All right. Well, I just have to state for the record here. I think a lot of robe sharing is weird. There, I said it.
Oh, you think it's weird to pass one single robe around and have everyone put it on?
I'm just saying, in times before, if you put on another man's robe, you would be slaughtered.
This is what I'm saying. I don't know the fascination that everyone has with my beautiful, expensive robe.
You would draw swords. That's all I'm saying.
Just be polite. That's all I'm asking, everyone.
I'm always polite.
Just be polite.
I'm as polite as I am, energetic.
Checks character sheet.
Right.
Well, the gallants and the lady and the dwarf are beckoning you over the drawbridge and into the keep. Do you follow?
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Probably would be more interesting if we do, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's all for you. You can do whatever you want.
Well,
guess what? Like, they're also there waiting for you. Yeah. So, the illusion of choice. It's an old GM trick. So you go. You head across this drawbridge on your horses. Some of you have significantly more damaged horses than others, but it's strange that even though horses like Bojack 2 have been gored, and also the wound you have, Dame Safina, is not bothering you in the way that you think it would. You are definitely aware that it is there. It's like a dull ache, but you are not bleeding profusely.
That's because I'm so valorous.
That's probably exactly what it is. I would say it's literally the protection of God, who is real, filling you with otherworldly strength. And as you cross into this castle, you can see the keep within. There are many people here. There are, like, you know, people tending pigs and going about their day. There's a blacksmith. They're all smiling at you. They wave. They say, "Hail!" You know, and as they go, and they bow and nod to the gallants and the dwarf and the lady as they take you Further in, they take you to this big red building. Presumably, this would be their great hall within the keep of the castle, where you'll be subject to many things such as food and wine and rest. And you have been. How many days passed when you're wandering through the forest? I feel like it was at least one.
Oh yeah,
you got lost a little bit. Like you're
feel
probably
like we
a little
once,
sleepy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also fought all those pig people, so you're probably exhausted.
Yes. And so, honestly, a little triggered when we walk by the people tending pigs, if I'm honest.
Yeah, Elfwine puts his hand on his hilt for a second.
Yeah. This is going to kill some more pigs. Just you know, that's probably, you can check with Sir Caradoc, that's probably an inhospitable thing to do.
Put your robe on the pigs. Keep them warm.
But the gallant in the moon armor stops as you come to the front, the main door of this inner keep as the others move in. It says, "I can take your horses from here if you'd like. I can make sure the stable boy does see to them, tend to them, brush them, feed them."
Thank you.
Yes, very well.
Yes, and he snaps his fingers. "A stable boy!" And a boy from the stables appears, and he takes the reins of each of your horses. He also offers help if anybody wants help getting down off their horse. He's very kind.
Oh,
yep. Not sure if anybody accepts this help.
Why not?
Yes,
I'll accept the help.
Why the hell not?
Why not?
He takes your hand and helps you down off your horse. He does that for anybody else as well. And then he takes the horses by their reins and escorts them off to the stables.
Yes,
nearby.
Please direct him to your nearest ale trough. Go, Bojack. To behave yourself. Yes.
Sorry, there.
Yes, our stables do overfloweth with ale.
Good.
So much ale we do. Now, tell me, before we go inside, how have your travels in the Forest Sauvage been?
It's been better travels. I only say this because I'm bleeding out of the side of my torso.
Oh no, my dear dame. We will certainly have you fed and drunk and looked after. We can even have you a bed.
That's
if you want to rest.
Nothing's better for an open wound than alcohol.
That's right.
It constricts the blood and dulls the ache.
Yes.
That is the main
expels the
main
the thing. Ghosts in your blood.
Yes, we have the leeches brought out and anything you need.
Yes, perhaps some actual medical aid would be in order.
I would ask though, what is your business in the Forest Sauvage?
Well, we've noticed, and I'm not sure if you've noticed the same, that the forest is actually massive and growing at quite an exponential rate. It's starting to swallow whole towns.
Oh, yes, the Kingdom of Sauvage will grow on.
Ah,
yes,
so this is
you're
intentional.
You're quite right.
Yes, okay.
Yes, because the our King Sauvage does rule with such charitable hospitality that it's only fair, right, and just that his kingdom extend beyond the borders of the Forest Sauvage and indeed to the sea and beyond.
Well, is it quite hospitable to allow an evil sorcerer to turn an entire village of people into boars?
I'm not sure what
happened.
You're talking about.
That happened in the forest. Ruled by this lovely, wonderful, of course, king, but perhaps some thought needs to be put into how the forest is expanding and who is expanding with it, and should they be allowed to turn people into pigs?
Yes, not to be a rude guest here in your kingdom, but are you aware of what happens to these villages when they are swallowed whole?
Oh, you're just thinking of Mare Boar. Mare Boar has a wonderful sense of humor.
But this
doesn't.
Well, what happens to all the other villages?
The other villages?
Yes, as they get consumed by this ever-expanding forest, what happens to them?
Well, they join the Kingdom of Sauvage, of course.
But if they survive the giant snake that might eat them?
Well, no, there are dangers everywhere. Why do you tell me this, Dame Fiona? You smell of battle. You've slain giants. You've fought against King Loth. You've experienced all kinds of hardships and dangers. Now, if I said to you that in the Kingdom of Savage no such thing exists, but sometimes there are pig people, which would you choose? I know what I would choose, and my choice is correct, I assure you.
Well, I choose, with all due respect. I am not trying to be rude. I am just famously honest. I choose the thing that I get to choose.
Well said.
Thank you.
Write that one down.
Nonsense.
As opposed to the thing that is forced upon me.
Like nothing is forced upon you. The world changes, and as so too, we must change with it. Isn't that right, Sicardo?
Maybe this conversation could be extended over some ale and reverie.
Oh, just to, revelry?
Just to move the scene along. Do you know what I mean?
What just do we like to get call inside or change the talk. Location.
I feel like people are, yeah.
You want to sit down, don't you? All right.
I'd like a hard cut to a dining hall. If I may. Maybe a wipe.
They walk you into the hall. He takes your hint. We'll park the philosophical discussion for later. And it is a beautiful hall. It is grandiose beyond measure. It's marble floors. Gorgeous walls. It is the cleanest room any of you have ever been in. Like, you didn't know what clean was. I'm gonna sneeze.
Bless you.
I sneezed, but I muted my thing before I...
Nice work.
Was that... Oh,
yeah.
Are these diegetic sneezes or non-diegetic sneezes?
Yeah, is the night... The moon
is he sneezing or are you sneezing?
Yes.
I said I'm about to sneeze. Sorry, that was me sneezing. That was actually, that was a problem.
Yeah. Be a good I was character so confused for a second. Like, what's happening?
I should have made it clear. Sneezing was
just talking about how
ago.
Clean the place was, and then he starts sneezing. I'm like, yeah, I want to do an insight check.
No,
intrigue.
No, there's a difference. So if it just, so for future reference, when I sneeze, it'll be like what just happened. And if a character in game sneezes, I will say,
Hachu.
He begins to sneeze.
You'll describe a sneeze.
He's sneezing.
Great,
yeah.
Good. It's good to
well,
know.
Well, and also back then, if you sneezed, you'd be burned as a warlock.
Specifically
as a warlock. No, the sneezing is warlock business, which is something else.
Sneezing was banned for women in the 300s.
It's not good for the reproductive organs, as you know. Shakes them too much.
The cleanest room you've ever been. The structure of it is very similar to other halls. You have the long trestle tables. You have the high table. There's a big throne, a kingly throne, which is empty. And there is a table on one of the trestle tables. The dwarf is sitting there. He's taking out like a game board and game pieces. The gallants of the sun is reading a book. And the Lady Drusilla is pouring wine into a cup for herself, which she begins to drink. And she smiles and raises her glass to you as you approach. And the Gallant of the Moon goes to join the Gallant of the Sun. And they begin to read the same book. Like
together.
They're sharing the same book. Yeah.
That's cute.
It's weird. Very harmonious.
I'm sorry, sir. Sir Elfwine. I think they might be already a situation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They might be interested in a third person, though.
I've been eyeballing every chick in this place. I love boobs.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Did you say so?
Sure.
It's fine.
What's this game this kid's playing? Like Hero Quest or something?
He's got a full Milton Bradley 1980 something hero quest that he's still sealed. And can you all please make a panic check as he unseals the box?
I draw my arming sword.
it's just like, you know, like a proto chessboard with game pieces, and he's stroking his weird little beard. There's also a cat, I should say. And for those YouTube viewers, I've got a picture of the cat.
Nice.
Oh,
you can see him.
Medieval cat.
Oh, I love him.
He's a little cat. Wow. Yeah, he's got like a beard and a thing.
That was your cue, Seja. Where'd she go?
I saw her walking in the background. That's what made me think of it.
Yeah, she's over there on the couch, maybe.
The cat has a the fur of the cat on its chin is long and curled in a similar fashion to that of the dwarf, and the cat sits under the chair of the dwarf and just is hanging out. And Drusilla raises her wine to you. Please, won't you have a glass of wine, all of you? Please join us.
Is there a roll that we can make on this cat? What cat has a beard? Is my question.
You can make a folklore roll? Or is there an animal? Yes. Do you want to hunt it? Is that what you...
No. I just want to... You don't usually see a cat with a goatee.
Is it a disguised cat? Yeah.
I should make it clear. It's not like a cat that has a goatee. It is just the cat's natural fur is quite long and curls like a goatee. Oh,
forget it. Okay. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay.
It's like if like this cat would be big on TikTok. Right, if they had TikTok.
Okay.
So, Safina is like, so about this wine, do you think if we drink it, it's going to turn us into pig people?
I was just wondering. Something similar. Are we allowed to eat and drink in a fairy place? Would we know? Or is it the kind of thing where, like, oh, don't eat or drink while you're in that other world because you might never leave?
Yeah, so on an unknowing contract you are accepting to by eating and drinking.
Yes, would we know that, GM?
Maybe. Anyone wondering about this could make a folklore roll.
In the meantime, though,
what's everybody's hospitality?
15.
My hospitality is a 10, but my folklore is a 12.
So, Caradoc, what's your hospitality?
My hospitality is a 7.
Oh, okay. And so, Elfwine?
Trying to find the word hospitality.
It's at the bottom of your passions.
Oh, it's a passion. Yeah, I got a
scroll. Yeah.
Hospitality is a passion.
Oh, I got a 14.
Mine. Okay, yes. So those of you with the hospitality above a 10 will just know that it is completely unacceptable to refuse food and drink when in somebody else's home.
Sure, of course.
Did anyone make a folklore roll?
I know. Sophina is too Christian to know what
fairy
contracts are.
Well, as a pagan, I know because I succeeded in my role. Nice. 4 under 6.
You succeed. You know that in some stories, it is a trick that the fairies make because, you know, some stories believe that the fairies once lived above ground and then were forced underground by specifically the Irish. And that's one of the things they trick to maybe sometimes trade places with you. Like you're eating my drink. Good, you can stay here. I'll go back to where you came from. So it is possible, but it's not like a default, like, unless you want to treat it like it's a racial profiling thing. Like all fairies.
I think knowing that hospitality is important to this king and that it's only some fairies that might trick you to stay here by drinking something.
I told you I like women.
Drusilla is not herself a fairy and she's the one offering it to us. So I'm going to say, yes, so Elfwine, yes, of course you like women. Let's accept this wine. Yes, well, thank you.
This fairy talk.
Drusilla.
Thank you. Thank you for the wine.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna drink the wine.
And as soon as you touch the wine, you're like, oh shit, I'm trapped here forever now. You know it.
I was told to be courteous.
Yeah. You were.
So even at the risk of turning into a pig, I'm drinking the wine.
Can someone remind me what the unicorn said telepathically to whoever it talked to? We had the whole unicorn thing. Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, what happened with that? Did she just
guide
us to the village?
Led you to the pig people and then laughed his ass off as you all these pig people. That's what he did.
That's what it was. The unicorn had no thoughts about this castle. We did that pre-pig person, right?
He was like, hey, come this way. You're not going to believe this shit.
Yeah.
Look at all these pig people.
When you get there, make sure to do this, this, and this. That didn't happen, right?
No. He didn't just tell you how to win the game, no.
He didn't send us on a quest.
That's a unicorn, you never know.
So Drusilla sits down on one of the trestle tables and leans her head on her hand and sips her wine. Says, tell me, what have I missed? What's been going on in your wonderful world since we last saw one another?
Well, many things.
Yeah, not with my notes. I'm going to pass that over to somebody
I just got
else.
Here.
Well, we have met the wizard Merlin, which was very exciting.
Well, that is specific to you. I mean, more tell me news of the world.
Oh, King Lot has been slain.
Everyone gasps, and, including the dwarf and the cat somehow.
Oh.
They look at you.
Interesting. And the boy King Arthur is on the throne. And I think actually, Sir Elfwine, were you not summoned by him at one point? Did you meet him? What was he like?
I only met his asshole brother.
Oh.
Kay. Very rude young man. No respect, really. That was really my big impression.
And the two gallants are shaking their head like, you know, not good enough. You know, that's not...
Yeah.
Don't know if this matters to you, but Lady Gwynhilt married a horrible sergeant named Maurice.
No, that doesn't matter to us. Back to this thing about the King Arthur, you said.
Yes.
And she looks over at the gallants and they sort of look back at her and you can tell they're clearly thinking, whatever they're thinking is the same thing. And the gallant of the sun, he stands up, giving his book to the shared book, leaving that to the gallant of the moon. It says, now, sorry, tell me, what is this? You said there is a boy king.
Yes.
Yes.
The boy king, yes. Arthur is hard at work, uniting all the Britons against the depredations of the horrible, horrible Saxons. And I put my hand on.
He's a king who's a boy. He's not the king of boys.
He's not the king of boys. He is the king of boys, but as well as girls, men, women.
Boys, girls, men, women,
everyone.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Pigmen, unicorns.
And correct me if I'm wrong, he pulled a sword from a stone. Has that happened yet? Or
yes.
Am I just imagining?
From a stone.
No, that did
happen. It was magical.
It was a magical sword, and it foretold and prophesied his rise to the throne.
Well, no, that can't make any sense at all, because it is the King Savage who is going to unite the realm under his banner.
Reasonable minds can disagree.
I can see why you'd think that, since his name also has the word king in it, but...
As everybody knows, you cannot have more than one king in the same realm. So how do you believe this boy King Arthur will respond when it comes time to bend his knee to the true king, Savage?
Well, I imagine he will put up a bit of a fight.
If he's like his brother, he'll be a little bitch about it.
We do not fight in these realms.
Oh.
There's no fighting needing. It is very discourteous. We believe everything can be decided through calm, courteous conversation.
Well,
you'll notice that me and my compatriot, he gestures to the gallant of the moon, we carry no sword. For none is needed.
Oh, yes. Well, then perhaps King Arthur will have a conversation with the King Savage, and through dialogue, the two of them will decide who is the true king.
Well, no, I suppose through the dialogue, the boy King Arthur will surrender his crown to the true King Savage. I just don't see how else... What would happen to us if there was another king?
I'm sure he would accept you as one of his own subjects.
Yes, you would, just as you are accepting the people being overtaken by the forest as yours.
But what about? Ooh, we have no subjects here. We all live in harmony and love. If another king were to come in and change how we work, what would happen to me? What about to my compatriot? What's the Lady Drusilla? What's to the dwarf gamer? What about my position in my 401k?
Apart from the 401k talk, you sound like a bunch of dirty hippies, and I can't see the boy king submitting to your will at all.
Neither of us are kings, are we? No,
this is idle talk.
Yes.
Yes, it just means nothing.
Surely something we don't need to
defend ourselves. Do you have a magical mirror or a reflecting pool? Maybe your guy can call their guy and Merlin can connect them, and maybe there can be some FaceTime and we can just hash it out. Magically.
Maybe. But yes, please eat. And he gestures to the trestle tables, which are laden with food. They weren't just a moment ago, but now they are. Delicious. There is smoked. Oh, we can have. Who wants to roll on the food table?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm actually so hungry right now.
Oh, I hope it's a pig.
This is only going to make you more hungry.
I know.
I need three different D20 rolls from everybody except Sir Elfwine.
Nice.
So let's start with Dame Fiona. What did you roll?
13.
So the first course of this insane meal, apparently the first course, is custard with dried fruit.
Yum.
Oh. Cool.
That's what I want to start a meal. Custard and dried fruit.
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
Sir Caradoc, what did you roll?
I rolled a 5.
A 5. The second course is a honey glazed roast chicken rolled with mustard and pine nuts.
That sounds great.
You know what? You know what a honey glazed roast chicken would be very close to?
A honey.
Like a maple syrup glazed roast chicken. Like we're in the same realm, right?
Oh, here we go.
In the same realm? Anyway. And Dame Sophina.
I rolled third a 12. Course.
A 12. The third course. It's very funny on the circumstances. The third course to finish up this meal is imported and baked fruits. Very fruit-forward meal.
Yeah. Feels right for the fairies.
Wow.
That was good. I mean, it was just this. I just really wanted the custard and dried fruit to be followed by eel pasties.
That would have been.
Yeah.
But no, the meal had some coherency. So you sit down and you partake of this meal. There's no one else around. Just Drusilla. The two gallants. The dwarf doesn't really eat. He sort of picks at a bowl of pine nuts while he stares at his game board and strokes his little beard.
Drusilla.
Yes?
May I ask you something?
Of course.
Now that you've asked us, you know, the last time we saw you, we were looking for your changeling child. Do you think much about the boy?
Well, I suppose a normal amount, I think.
And do you know anything about him, how he's doing, what might have happened to him in the time since we saw you, or anything like that?
No, he seems like a young boy. He's very into horse riding, and he's learning the arts of what I suppose will one day make him a squire. Most normal boy things.
What do you mean? And how would you know that those things are happening?
Oh, because he lives here with us in Savage.
Right. And for how long? About a year?
Well, it's... Who can say how long anything is, really? But if you tell me it's a year, I guess it would be a year.
And how would you feel if he didn't live here with you anymore?
Well, considering I abandoned him as a baby, it doesn't really change my opinion so much.
Right. So if he came back with us, that would be fine.
Everyone gasps, including the cat.
That's really involved in the conversation.
And the gallant of the moon, he puts down a spoonful of custard and pear, or whatever it is, custard and dried mango.
He says, you want to take the boy Thomas with you? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, because we've been the ones raising him, you know? So we miss him very much, and we think he should come back with us.
And at this age, for a child to be moving around back and forth, not very good for their development. You know?
Yes, stability.
Well, this kind of decision can...
They sort of look to Drusilla, and she's halfway through drinking a glass of wine and sort of is looking at them and just shrugs and gets them to continue what they were thinking. And they get... This sort of decision cannot be made by neither me nor the other gallants, nor the dwarf, nor even the cat, and certainly by none of you.
Well, who can make it?
Would you like to take a guess?
I would imagine the estimable King Savage.
Oh, yes, Elfwine, a wonderful idea.
Yes, you should perhaps ask. Where is our wonderful host?
Well, no, he doesn't just appear for anybody. Ah. And they all start laughing.
Didn't know if this was a mention his name three times and he appears situation.
Could be. The King Savage.
King Savage.
Nope.
Still learning the rules here.
Why are we all? Yes. The King Savage. Established that. You have to keep repeating his name.
Well, perhaps you could. Inform him that he has four wonderfully capable knights here to have a chat.
Oh, of that he will already be well aware.
Ah,
for he sees and he hears all within his kingdom. As I'm sure the boy King Arthur can boast the same, right? Surely any right king would have that same connection to his realm.
I think he has people to do that for him. The most powerful wizard
sounds
in all
dreadfully
of...
mundane.
He's aging backwards. Did you know that?
No, Merlin? I heard that. Well, yes, yeah, that seems like a horrible way to go.
When you think about it.
Benjamin Button. All that.
Yes. I was thinking about that too. I thought about whether or not to say anything. Yeah, we're all thinking it. Yeah.
I think that's just Camelot. I think that's not necessarily lore accurate. But
that he's aging in reverse? Hold on, let me Google it.
Yeah, try and find out. It's not, the sources disagree, but...
Oh, okay, I trust you.
I think I can speak for my companions, even the savage Saxon here. That we are incredibly graciously grateful for your hospitality. The meal was delicious. And of course we would love to meet your king and treat with him. But we are willing to, of course, let him come in his own time.
If you want to... You're requesting a meeting with the king.
An audience with the king.
Of course, to do that, you must pass three tests.
I told you there were going to be tests.
Yes, you were right, Sir Caradoc. You were right. You were right. Yes, you did say that.
Let's hear the tests.
Tests.
It's always a damn
hit
test.
Hit us with the tests, baby.
Tests of chivalry and hospitality.
I think we might have passed the first, but not the second.
Well, that's for Dame Safina. She'll be able to pass the virtue test.
Oh, this isn't another Prima Noctis situation, is it?
No.
Or is there going to be a third party involved? Thank God.
No.
And the first of these tests will begin on the morrow. For now, let us drink and eat.
Let's sup.
And sleep. Sup well, sir.
I'm going to sup up and down.
Yeah.
Sup with you.
Sup with you. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yum, 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 yum.
So the food is very good. And you are all shown after the meal, after the sun has gone down, outside the hall, there's an adjoining building which houses guests, and you're brought to one very beautiful, lavish room that has a fountain in the interior and this beautiful, big, open, curtained window that looks out into the Forest Sauvage. And there are four separate beds in this one room.
Oh, in the same room?
Yeah. You're all in the same room. Room, as you say. Room.
I try to shake it sometimes and it doesn't. It still comes through. get rid of it. That and orange.
And the Lady Drusilla is leading you here with a candle. There's also a roaring fire in this room. It's very
a water fixture and warm. A fireplace.
Yes, no, we have all elements here, Dame Sabina, including air. If you open the window, you have the wind come through too. You've got a whole everything happening.
Hmm.
And she holds a candle out to you and says, well, this is where you can sleep, and tomorrow your tests will begin. And one test per day for the next 3 days. Assuming, of course, that you pass these tests.
Any bits of advice? Since you have so much experience with the King Savage.
Well, we'll be very courteous.
Yes.
That's it.
Done and dusted. I must say to everyone... You know that sometimes I am too honest and that might come across as rude. And I know that I'm the one who said to Sir Caradoc before we came in, you must be polite and hospitable. But now I'm worried I'm the one who's going to mess it up.
Yes, you.
Well, we must wait until we get there.
I could give you just a word of advice.
Yes.
Please do.
Please. Please and thank you in advance.
Oh. Oh, tried too hard.
Very nice. Very courteous. Very courteous. Thank you. Is this the test already, maybe?
There are three tests. Mm-hmm. And each will test you on a different aspect of courtesy, chivalry. One will involve animals.
Oh, wonderful.
One will involve participation in games of chance.
Ah.
Oh.
And the third...
Dwarf will run that one.
Well, even more courteous test. But, I should say, only one of you can attempt each test. So, choose wisely amongst you. Anyway, sleep well. And she closes the door, leaving you in all in the room together.
Thank you so much. Have a pleasant evening.
You're doing very good, Caradoc. Yeah. Very good.
This is hard.
You're a different person.
Yeah, the rumors, they're wrong. People are wrong about you.
I'm pretty good at this. I don't know how I got this.
Okay, all right, let's go over our options one more time here. Right. So is animals...
Animals.
Chivalry. And hospitality? What was the third?
Games of chance.
Oh, games of chance, yes.
Then we have gaming.
Animals,
have
games of chance. And the third, what was it? Animals, games of chance, and...
Like a chivalry or a...
Chivalry. Right. Chivalry. And these were going to be one of... One was going to be courtesy... And one was going to be chivalry. And one
she specifically
was going to be...
didn't say any specific skills.
Oh,
but right. They will likely involve skills. But right, I might mention something.
I would imagine some sort of roll is going to come down.
Anyone...
I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
We do have a gaming stat in our non-combat skills, if anyone's put anything
you
into
do.
That. I don't know if it will come into play, but I only have 5 in that.
Yes, same. I also do.
But I have a 10 in courtesy.
So no one has upped their gaming. No one's spent
Why
any
would
skill
we?
Points. Well, in case you need to do a test in the fairy world.
I put it all in falconry. Damn it.
I've been focusing on flirting.
Falcon is an animal. Maybe that's one of the tests.
Oh, all right.
True.
Right?
Well, we might fail the gaming, but perhaps our passion will help us.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, suppose we shall sleep and see what happens in the morrow.
Yes, night-night.
Good night.
Everyone goes to sleep, including everybody at home, because the scene is waning, and we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back after this with exciting fairy tests for Pendragon under an iron sky here on the Glass Cannon Network. Don't touch that dial.
Ever get to the end of a podcast episode and think, now what? Well, instead of scrolling through a million choices, try Something You Should Know. I'm the host, Mike Carruthers, and every episode is packed with fascinating, useful, and surprising things you'll actually use in your life. From human behavior, relationships, health, science, and everyday mysteries. So while you're already in your podcast app, just search for Something You Should Know and listen to an episode right now. Something You Should Know.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged. the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
There are vampires out there. They're beside you in the darkness, but what people don't understand is that they're not monsters. They're just going to work, living their unlives. But we are a dying breed. Those who came before me, they are fearful and are not content to sit back and just disappear. And they'll do anything to fix that. From the creators of Parkdale Haunt comes Woodbine, a podcast about monsters, dreams, and changes, those you want and those you never saw coming. Season 2 arrives September 24th, distributed by Realm.
Welcome back to the Glass Cannon Network, where we're playing Pendragon Under an Iron Sky. And we are in the realm of the King Savage. Skid's got his oh, no, he's got his Freedom Fighters. Which one are you showing off? Yeah, they're both red, so it's hard to, you know, yeah.
That's the second time he's done that.
He's got a machine gun. What the hell? Yeah.
Well, in this Forest Savage, anything could happen, including everybody. Everybody, please add the machine gun trait to your... It's actually a... You're all American, so it should go into your passions. It's not a skill. Right. It's a passion. Low-hanging fruit.
Automatic gunfire.
Yeah. 13. Have I told you guys about the gun massacre we had here?
I think
the news told me about it.
Yeah.
Now, this was back in 1996. And then there was a really massacre. Port Arthur massacre. This super well-adjusted guy was just like, bang, bang, bang. Then the government, the conservative government at the time was like, yeah, that's not good. So, you haven't any guns. Anyway.
Yeah.
Your government actually did something after a tragedy happened?
We haven't done one since. And then sometimes I'll speak. I'll get an event in America and I'll be talking to like a guy, a nondescript guy who will remain nondescript. And he'll be like, but what do you do if someone breaks into your house? Like, what do you do?
All you can say is, well, he doesn't have a gun either. It's going to come out.
I just find him like a man.
But also, I think, like, how many enemies do you have that you were? Anyway,
I know.
It's a good thing to, I'm sorry to tie it back, but, like, we have weapons, and the people in this fairy kingdom do not.
They're happy
as hell. Right.
So. They're happy as hell.
Who's the good guy with the gun now?
Okay, I thought Nora was more like, so what we could do is...
That is, you know, what I was...
If he gets mad,
like this whole beef, we were like, well, what's he going to do in this king versus the boy king? We're like, well, we've got swords.
I mean, I think they'll probably kill you, but...
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We've all got swords.
Firstly, impose some tariffs on them. And then take it from there. Yes. We see how well that goes. We'll attack other people that are completely uninvolved in the tariff people.
Yeah.
Just to piss everybody off.
Elf Wine was posting on Camelot social. All in caps. Camelot. Anyway, you wake up the next morning and you are probably the most well-rested you've been in your entire life. The bed that you slept in was so soft. It was like you popped 5 melatonin and you hit straight. And you
what if
beautiful.
We don't go home? What if we just stay?
What if we don't even do the trials?
Yeah, forfeit or whatever.
You wake up to the smell
courteous.
Of sizzling bacon.
Bacon.
Salted and pork.
Just for the fuck of it, what is the side they have with their bacon here? Someone roll a d20. I'm not going to...
I didn't roll for food last time.
Yeah, you
do it, Rob.
You
do it.
19. That's going to be something good.
Eel.
Oh, yeah. It is sizzling bacon with a side of cod tails. That's right.
Mm. Tails. Oh, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get those omega-3s.
That's a choice.
So you follow the scent down back to the Great Hall, where the trestle tables are there, and there is just, it's laden with cod tails and fresh bacon. That's it. They're a protein forward society, you know.
It's good
after all that fruit yesterday.
Yeah.
And the dwarf is sitting there looking at his game board.
Still going.
He's stroking his cat. And no one else is there.
Should we ask the dwarf about his game? Maybe that has something to do with what we'll be doing.
Yeah.
We could get a bonus die of some sort or something.
What if
maybe
right now, talked about right now is the trial. This is it.
This is it.
He's
sure.
Is that a game of chance?
Or we should eat a lot of it. I don't know.
Yeah, we better turn. Just stuffing my mouth with cocktails.
Just the little tail sticking out of your mouth on the side.
It looks like I have a mustachio.
You look like the cat.
Yes, let's approach the dwarf.
Yes, one of us. Forsooth, small lord. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, just... Regular
I was
lord.
Still focusing on my game.
Ah, I'm so sorry.
And you startled me.
Yes, your brain is probably smaller than ours, so it requires more.
That's not what he meant at all.
More work. Well, look, he's a much smaller man than us. He's
well,
dwarf.
I think he's exactly the same size as we are. That's how courteous
well,
I am.
Well, that's not true, but, you know, maybe his brain is compressed. So it's like less, it uses up all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because of its less, size.
Yeah, there's less ground to cover. I see what right. you're saying. Yes, for the electrical impulses.
It's a superior size, by any standard.
It's adorable. It's an adorable little chestnut
and
brain.
Mighty. And highly sexual.
We're skirting uncomfortably close to a eugenics conversation here. So
the ladies and the Saxon could agree.
It's a very virile brain size.
So tell me, good tiny man, what is our game of chance trial? Is it this, what lies in front of you?
You then are the one who is challenging me. Is it you? Are you going to be the one? Because remember, only one can challenge.
Ah, right, of course. Let's just check our stat sheets.
Good
quick.
Stats. Just lick off to the side.
I imagine we all have 5. That's my guess.
For gaming? Yes. Some people might have 0, I guess, but yeah.
Okay.
If you can beat me, if you can beat me in my game, I will tell the King Savage of your great courtesy and virtue, and that his meeting of you would not be a waste of time.
Would you explain the rules of the game before we decide who is going to challenge you?
Yes, what is this game you're playing?
So first of all, it's called Twilight Imperium.
Oh, I know this one. It'll just take us 12 hours.
We're never getting back home.
No, it is a proto-chess type thing. There are knights and kings and queens and pawns. And
so it's not really a game of chance so much as strategery.
Well, the chance, Sir Knight, lies in which of you will take the challenge and how will each of you play the game differently. The chance is who would be best at it. No.
Seems like you're bending over backwards. Very well.
He strikes his cat.
Thank you, Gerardot. Shall we Rochambeau? So well.
Yeah, if we all rock, the
paper,
same.
Scissors.
I turn to Elfwine, and I grab him. Says, "Like, tell me, I'm going to lose this game. Tell me, I'm terrible at it. Hurry!"
As a Saxon, you are the worst. You will.
I'll do it.
Oh!
The cat gasps.
Oh, it's okay.
Please take a seat. Then, what was your name, young man?
I am Sir Caradoc, the Saxon hater.
It's true. There are people that it is courteous to hate, wouldn't you say?
Indeed, some of them deserve it.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think the cat is the king. Anyway, I'm just gonna say that.
The cat's been there every time.
Just him and the cat.
All right.
Yeah.
Play some bets.
Cat might be the king.
He strokes the head of back. Have you played games before, Sakana?
Well, I'm not a practiced hand. My efforts are directed in the martial arts more than
than the games of chance as you describe, but
I have a
passing familiarity with the board game.
And you think your passing familiarity is enough to outclass moi?
Well, I couldn't possibly hope to match your skill and experience, but I am willing to put myself forth as your opponent.
How very valorous of you.
Yes, I roughly 16.
Yes.
Worth of valorous.
Shall we begin playing the game?
After thee.
Okay, well, I see he turns the board around, so he has white. Very good. White is, as they say, broken. So I will go first, and he begins to move. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're both going to roll, but we're not going to announce what it is until later. All right, so you'll know and I'll know what I've got, right? Okay.
Okay.
But no one else will know until later. So you're going to make a gaming roll.
Okay.
I will tell you that the dwarf has a gaming of 20.
Sweet.
Okay. All
right, so you'll need to roll less than your gaming, but higher than his. Like to invoke a passion, become inspired?
I would like to invoke a passion.
Yes, which one?
I would like to invoke my hatred for Saxons, because I just recently had a Saxon tell me that I couldn't do this.
You sneaky guy.
I'm going to show him.
Right. You're playing 4D proto chess.
How high is your Saxon hatred?
16.
Ooh. Okay, make your passion roll. What do you get? I can't believe you let me sleep through the night.
I just tell you that I hate you.
You're just staring at me the whole time I was asleep.
I didn't sleep a wink.
Knife scraping the whetstone.
Yeah.
I got a 7.
Okay, so you pass. So check your hatred of Saxon's box. And you give yourself +5 to your gaming, which brings your gaming up to 10.
10.
Ooh.
Okay. So just make your roll for gaming, but don't just keep the die to the side. So we'll slow roll this.
Okay.
Okay. I've got my roll, and we don't, just reminding everybody at home, I don't fudge rolls. I can't speak to these other four people here. I never see their thing, but whatever I roll is what's
We're
there.
We're not cheaters.
I'm not. I'm not saying you are.
A lot of rolls in this game.
Yeah.
Let me just...
I do like the
montage.
I like the part of the player guide in the beginning that's just like, roll it in front of everybody so everyone feels the tension.
Yes.
And I thought about how we can't do that here.
Yeah.
you gotta feel the tension. And as you play, the dwarf does involve himself in various topics of conversation with you, because this is a long game. If anyone's played Twilight Imperium, it takes a long time.
A long time.
It is proto Twilight Imperium.
Me, I'm working on a deck building game myself.
Sir Caradoc, what is your highest skill out of folklore, religion, or courtesy?
Courtesy.
Okay, that's good. So the dwarf engages you in a conversation about courtesy. You know, Sir Caradoc, he says as he's sort of thrumming over his next move. Once I was invited to a dinner with some friends, and I was running late. I felt so bad about it. And then when I arrived, it became evident that they had begun the dinner without me. And I've been racking my brain ever since to try and decipher philosophically who was in the wrong. Was it me for being so unprepared that I was late to the dinner? Or was it them for not showing me the courtesy of waiting for my lateness? It's like an unstoppable force and an immovable object, wouldn't you say?
Indeed, this is a conundrum. Well, I would say that it is, of course, a generally
all things being equal, a discourtesy to arrive late, sometimes as much as 15 minutes late for a scheduled event.
If you sent a message saying you were going to be
even
only a few minutes...
Even if you sent a missive to the other participants,
and the message
that you would
just
be
said
late.
A couple minutes, and then 15 minutes
the
after that.
The assumption would be that it was just a couple of minutes,
but
and then it turned
it
out to be
your
something
control,
more like
how
a machine.
Late you or someone else was holding you back.
No, it was how severely... far away you were traveling from, and how tired you were from your journey. That could be seen as a discourtesy. Of course, we are forgiving.
You can always tell Ross Bryant you have a hard out.
We don't normally play for that long. We don't normally play all the way until 1 p.m. We normally wrap up close to 12:30.
Regardless of your travels from this ice land.
I'm sorry, Sir Ross Bryant.
Yes, Sir Ross of Bryant.
Sir Ross of Bryant.
But then, of course, to start a meal without all the participants, especially what I can only assume would be a guest of honor, given your stature, is the greater discourtesy. So I would say in a game of Am I the Asshole? I would say it was your friends.
Sir Caradoc, could you please make a courtesy roll? Would you like to invoke a passion?
I would. Oh, I don't really have a good one.
Hospitality makes the most sense. You got a bad hospitality, don't you?
Okay, yeah. But if I fail this...
You'll be a negative five, yeah.
What is your hospitality skid?
It's 7.
Mm. What's your courtesy? Mm.
My courtesy is 13.
Okay. That's better than 50% odds.
Yeah.
Anyway, so just make sure you've kept a separate die for the role you did for your...
Yeah. I did.
You did? Very good.
All right. And I satisfied the requirements of the courtesy roll with a 5 and a 13.
Ah, you say click your tick your courtesy box. And the dwarf nods. Yes, no, I think you are right. I think they were the assholes.
Yes.
Not I.
No.
But let's see if this particular hole can be asked as he moves his... his final piece, Ed. I think I may have you here, Sir Caradoc, for... I've rolled a 5. He rolled a 5 on his gaming roll. What did you roll?
Well, I rolled a 12.
Yes!
Oh, with the pass?
Over 10.
Oh, over 10.
So...
Oh!
Yeah.
Boo! I got excited at first because I forgot that...
Yes. So you lost the game to the dwarf. But... you still pass the test. Yes. So you actually gain 25 glory for winning this contest of knowledge.
Nice.
That's pretty exciting. Awesome.
I will tell the King Savage just what a courteous man you are, Sir Caradoc.
Yes, tell him.
I will sleep easy. I sleep easy. He strokes the cat, who gasps, looking directly at Elfwine. I will tell the King Savage what a man you are, and I will sleep easy in knowing that I was not in the wrong at that dinner so long ago.
Indeed. And I thank you both for the vigorous and challenging game, and for your own courtesy, which I am hard pressed to match. And I stand up and give a great flourishing bow, and I dive out the window.
Now, all of you must get your rest for tomorrow.
This bird's gotta fly.
Speaking of which, tomorrow you'll be going out into the mews with the gallants. So make sure you bring all your feathers about you. And then the dwarf just disappears.
Wow, we've got the whole rest of the day.
Is it possible to check on Thomas?
Like, you can't see him nearby, if that's what you mean.
Like, can we go walking around and find him? Doing whatever he's doing, or is that like, no, you can't leave this area, you're stuck here?
You can go wandering around if you want to spend the rest of the day looking for him in the village, in the adjacent town. you've definitely got time to do that.
He doesn't even live in the building with...
You don't know where he is.
Drusilla?
Who knows? The point is, you don't know where the gallants are. You can't find Drusilla. And the dwarf, as I mentioned, just disappeared.
Well,
but you can spend the day, as you wander around exploring the keep and the nearby village, everybody is extremely polite. But you do not see Thomas anywhere.
Okay. I just wonder if he's happy, you know?
Yes. It's seems strange having to make a decision for him. Maybe, perhaps he's right. Maybe it's that he'd want to be here.
Does seem a pleasant place, but it doesn't seem godly to allow a child to grow up among the fae folk.
Also, Merlin didn't want it to happen.
That's true.
I mean, there's a question. I'm siding with Merlin every time.
Also, I wonder if time passes differently here. Is he much older than the last time we saw him when he was... really a baby still, it's like true. Two or three, I think.
Yes.
Or is he younger? Right. Is Alfwine's theory about aging in reverse.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does that mean the baby, Thomas? It's Thomas aging in reverse.
He's just a little atom now.
Yeah.
He is the cat
zipping around.
He's gone back to being a zygote.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then he's in the uterus. We found him.
Oh, in utero. Yeah.
I'm That's still pretty problem, concerned then. About the ever-expanding wood that
yes.
is...
Yeah, well, you would be concerned.
Yes, whatever you're experiencing, Sir Alfwine, it's not really relevant.
I love vaginas. Okay? I like to put them on my head. What are you doing?
Put it on your head. What do you mean?
I like to have a staring contest with them.
Oh!
Well, you look at them.
Is that what you think? Oh, no.
Yes, that's what the ladies like. Staring contests with their genitals.
The following day, you awake, you have a great sleep again, and you awake to the smell, the beautiful smell of the following food. Who wants to roll to see what the food is?
I will.
Go on.
A one.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, herb fritters.
Herb fritters. Hell yeah.
Yum. Herb fritters is like above glazed eggs. I'm not even fucking joking. Glazed eggs.
Wow. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You and your eggs.
Herb fritters.
You and your maple eggs.
And you come downstairs and the doors to the hall are open. And the breeze and the fresh air is coming in, and you feast on your herb fritters, and the two gallants are standing at the front door in their riding gear. Avast! Welcome. Now,
yes, well met.
Fill up on your herb fritters, for we are going. We are going, and you're all coming with us for the next test. Yep. Mount up, dames and sirs. Fritter up, won't you?
Yes.
Let's fritter about in the great outdoors.
Yes. And you climb astride your horses. The people who are paying close attention will remember the stable boy from earlier.
Uh-huh. Yes, he helped me down from my horse.
Yes,
he's the king.
He comes back.
It's Thomas.
He comes back with your horses, and he brings them to you, and you mount them, and it is a beautiful day. And the two gallants take the lead on their horses. One is dark, one is white. It's like an episode of Lost. And they...
it already makes more sense. That's about.
Yeah, yeah.
Not there yet. Doing a rewatch. I'm still in season one.
It's good. Well, you remember that
bit.
Why
bother?
Anyway. Show's good, man. Show's good.
Sure. That's a good show.
You know what you always want to hear? You want to hear an interview with the writers who said, we didn't actually think we'd get past episode 5, so we don't really know where it's going.
That's every show.
It's good.
Yeah, whereas NCIS New Orleans, they had 7 seasons planned out day one.
Exactly, because they knew we just make the same episode every time.
Over and over again.
You just put yourself in the Groundhog Day of television production. You don't have to worry about anything in the future. Just do it again. Somebody died? Great, someone's dead.
Yeah.
Start from there.
That's how
someone
I approach
said,
every episode
and somebody
of
has to use the computer to figure it out.
Yeah, somebody's got to use the computer, maybe some sort of mass spectrometer. Still don't know what that does.
I've used one of those.
Look that up.
So you're a method actor.
Could you... For the next test, Sir Elfwine's going to have to type as hard and fast as he can at his computer while saying, I'm nearly in! I'm nearly in!
Enhance! Enhance!
Right.
Life
can't find
is
much
leading
longer.
To this moment.
I've and actually used
gallants,
a mass spectrometer before.
Astride their one light and one dark horse at the front, they're laughing with each other. They're having a great time. Who wouldn't? You're astride a horse, it's a beautiful day. You're in the Kingdom Sauvage.
Yeah.
And they take you out to this big field. It's a big clearing field. And on one, on the far side of the field is like a log set up with all these different birds. Most of which are falcons. But there's owls, there's falcons, or whatever. And they come to the opposite side of the field. And they astride their horse gesture to those, all the birds. So each of those birds represent one religious virtue. Mm-mm. And if you can get one of the virtuous birds to fly across this field, perch top your hand, your gloved hand. We have gloves, don't we? Yes, we have gloves. Yes, gloves. Gloved hand.
Of safety first, yes.
This will show King Sauvage that you have strong connection to virtue and love and life and courtesy.
Now, does it matter which religion we're talking about here?
It does.
Oh.
The virtues those birds represent are the hearty virtues of the pagan and the Christian people.
Oh. Oh.
All right. Experience in handling birds would likely be of also assistance.
Ah.
Mm. Okay.
Got the religion part down.
Well, I've got a 9 in falconry.
It's more than me. It's
more I than have all a 5 in it.
But also, a meta level, you guys get to, if this succeeds, you get to have some glory, and I would rather the people who are continuing this campaign beyond today get that glory.
We're not going to get any glory if someone doesn't win this thing.
Now, well, we'll get more glory
for this. If we could invoke a passion of devotion for this.
You could.
Then I think I could.
Oh, yeah.
Devotion is
I'm not going to tell you the specific mechanics of what you're going to need to roll until after someone is locked in as being the one to do this.
My falconry is bad, not to metagame, but like everything else, I feel like I got a fair shot.
Do it.
Yes. At this.
Yes, you are the most devout of us all.
You are.
So just so you know, the virtues are as follows, because this is, as written in the book, the Christian virtues are chaste, forgiving, merciful, modest, spiritual, and temperate.
Okay.
And the pagan virtues are lustful, energetic, generous, honest, proud, and spiritual.
Nice.
Right.
I got the Christian ones in spades, y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm very spiritual, like almost as spiritual as one can get, if that will play in at all. But I do agree that Nora may be best suited for this.
Yes, I think so.
The holiest of us all.
Dame Sophia.
Not in a dickish way, though. As she said, I'm still cool.
Yeah, still super cool.
You don't ask us what we're doing every Sunday morning.
No.
She's not like a Jehovah's Witness or anything, but she's just really, really into it.
Yeah, you don't ask us to meet your cool buddy Jesus.
Yeah.
I save all that for Father Melian, a brother Melian.
Yeah, he laughs it up too. that was him laughing it up. Dame Sophina, will you try and call the best bird across the field?
Hand me my glove. But she's with her lovely arms that will surely draw a bird to her.
She extends a beautiful arm out.
And they sheathe it with this equally beautiful, well, couldn't possibly be equally beautiful, but a beautiful enough glove to fit the arm. It is comically sufficient. Large on your slender long arm. Now, which the bird of which virtue will you call to you?
Remind me which.
The bird of chaste, the bird of forgiving, merciful, modest, spiritual, temperate, or lustful, energetic, generous, honest, proud.
I think my highest one is chaste, because you didn't say valorous, whatever, so I'll do that
one. I did not. So, what is your chaste?
17.
What is your falconry?
5.
Okay, add those two numbers together, please, Skid.
22.
Okay, and divide that by 2, please, Paula.
11.
Well, 11. Hey. So you need
I
to roll
it all on my own.
You need to roll an 11 or less on your D20.
Okay.
Would you like to become inspired?
I would.
With which thing?
With my devotion.
Which is?
16.
Okay, let's find out.
Yeah.
I rolled an 11 under 16.
Nice.
Yeah. So
check your devotion.
Sweet.
And as you do this for the Lord God himself, I assume.
So now what do I have to roll?
It's gone up to 16.
16.
16, because you're plus 16 5.
16 or under.
All right, you got this.
Roll 20.
Rolled,
so funny.
I swear to God, I rolled a 1.
Did you? Oh, that's okay.
I swear
that's okay.
I rolled a 1.
Yeah.
Wow. It was just would have been very funny after all that if you rolled the 20 and the bird that just like gorged your eyes out or something.
Hilarious. I'm blind.
Hey, a blind, really religious knight could be cool, though. You get to walk around with one of
those would be cool. In your eyes. I am led really by cool. my faith.
Yeah. Like the guy from Mortal Kombat.
Wait, which guy?
Kenshi.
The blind one. Oh, yeah, the blind one. Whoa, that's a deep cut, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I'm a ball knower. When it comes to Mortal Kombat.
Ball knower.
And anyway, so this bird is beautiful. What kind of bird do you think it is? A magpie, probably. No, tell me, what kind of bird do you think it should be?
A stork.
James Sabina.
Eagle.
An eagle.
An eagle. All right. And, you know, all of you, I can't talk about it. Don't you all start crying when eagles come around? Isn't that a thing you all do?
Yeah.
Only if they're holding machine guns.
Yes. Oh,
my God. Sorry.
And Bibles. A machine gun in one, and a Bible in the other.
Bud Light in the other.
Well, not Bud Light, but
Bud Light anymore. But maybe a Coors.
Did you know? I think we talked about this. Do you know that when y'all say light beer, you mean like fewer calories, but when Australians say light beer, they mean less alcohol?
Light in color.
Oh.
So I know people that are being like over in the States and be like, oh, I just had like 12 light beers, I'm okay, and just get completely fucked because they think they're drinking.
Yeah, we don't
lower alcohol beers.
That. That's just not a thing.
Yeah.
We don't just have lower alcohol beers. I don't feel like that's a thing.
Well, I did think that light beers had less alcohol. Is that not true?
They do have less alcohol.
In comparison to like an IPA
calories,
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also
we're talking about a craft beer, but
depending on the state, like Colorado, for example, where Rob currently lives, mm-hmm. there used to be a rule that you could sell 3-2 beer in grocery stores, which was a 3-2 percentage alcohol or less.
Mm-hmm.
So that is less alcohol than most beers. But
okay.
Huh. But yeah, I
that's still some.
Don't know.
Well, there you go. Anyway, this Bud Light carrying eagle soars its way across the field and perches on your arm, and it drops the Bud Light and says, that is for Bojack too.
Perfect.
Only some of this happens.
you narrated it. It's all canon.
You decide. The bird is there, and the two gallants like, and the cat who's on one of the saddles is like, you know,
cat came, huh?
I just have the eagle. Like the eagle uses its beak to like pierce the side of the can, and you shotgun it.
And Dame Safina, you can gain 100 glory. Claiming the best bird.
Nice.
Well done. We will certainly tell the King Sauvage that you are worthy of God's love and his light and his passion. Yes. Now, come back to the castle where we shall make merry the rest of the day. Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Oh, and by the way, tomorrow you will have your third and final test, the most dire of all tests. And for a world with no sword,
it seems that you may have an advantage. Sorry.
Wait, who's saying this?
It sounded like Sleepy Winkles for a moment.
Yeah.
Who was that? Brother Melian. It sounded like Brother Melian.
Yeah, it was very Brother Melian.
No, they're just, and they gallop off ahead, and you can follow, but you can follow at a distance where you could probably still talk to one another without them hearing.
What do we want to do tomorrow? I suppose it's between either me or Sir Elfwine.
Well, let's just see what the test will be.
Let's see what the challenge holds.
Yes.
We shall decide accordingly.
Tomorrow is his problem.
That is a tomorrow
problem. Yes, that's right.
That's a tomorrow problem.
First one there gets a fishtail. Ha ha!
Clap, 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 clap. Perhaps the task is to find out what they do with the rest of the fish.
They throw it in the trash.
And the next morning, you awake to a full feast. So I'm going to need 3d20 rolls again, please.
Oh, boy.
Wow. I'll roll one.
3d20 rolls. All right.
Oh, 20.
Oh, okay. We'll start with 20. So the first course is plum, quince, and apple pastries.
Ooh.
That sounds good now. I'm hungry.
Why are these too good? All these sound too good.
It's making me really...
And the second course is... Paula, what did you roll?
An 8.
An 8. The second course is peacock, redressed in its feathers before it's serviced. Yeah.
Oh, my.
What? A full peacock with its feathers put back in it, which is...
Interesting. That's a lot of work.
Fucked up.
And who's got the last one?
Last. I rolled, Nora, if you didn't.
Oh, no, yeah, I already rolled last time.
I rolled a 9.
You rolled a 9. Oh, white poultry meat stewed in wine.
Now that's
the first course, yeah.
There you go.
That's everything.
Hell yeah.
And you all come down to the hall that day, but the hall is bustling. it is full of people. The tables are already laden. There are many clearly well-dressed high members of high society here. The two gallants are there. The dwarf is there. The cat is running around. Lady Drusilla is there. She's, we were hoping that you would show up. You must have slept late. We're very sorry. We have to cancel the test for today.
So what?
Oberyn, the King of Fairy, is visiting us today, and we've been up since the crack of the dawn itself to prepare for his arrival.
Oh,
so please. On. Yes, King Oberyn of Fairy himself.
Get out of
this coming.
Oh my goodness. But is he here to challenge the King Sauvage, since you can't have two kings?
He's just visiting.
Of course.
Yes. The King of Fairy is visiting. Please, everybody. You must... I know I don't have to ask you this because I've heard of your great efforts with the first two challenges. And I'm sorry to have to delay the third challenge, but I just need you to please be as courteous and kind as possible while King Oberyn, the King of Fairy, is here.
We have manners.
Yes.
We're just comporting ourselves with incredible courtesy.
Some peacock feathers sticking out of your teeth.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. We will be, I'm sure, completely acceptably behaved.
As we belch.
And you're shown to a spot at the table, which is, for all of you, is slightly further away from the salt than any of you would really like.
Of course.
You know, all of you that you sat there, but you're eating your peacock. And what was the word you used for the poultry stewed in wine?
Coco van.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry. That's just me not being very cultured. not knowing what that is. I would just be like, we're having
it's
red
literally
wine, chicken again.
And wine.
Yum.
Yeah, chicken and wine.
Yeah, chicken and wine.
Oh.
Diet Coke chicken or whatever, you know.
Diet Coke chicken.
Yeah, root beer. Cook it with a little root beer can.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a thing?
That's a thing where Paul is from, right? Isn't that a...
I think...
That is a
yeah,
sudden.
People do that. You open the can and you put the chicken on top of the can through in its... Inside,
on top
you
of
know?
The
can? Yeah, and then you I'm cook so. It that way.
Right?
I think. Yeah.
I think so.
So,
I
like, you have the full chicken and you pull out the innards and then through its cavity onto the can.
Oh, the whole chicken.
Stuffed with root beer.
stuffed stewed. With a can of root beer or yeah. whatever. Or beer or whatever.
Yeah,
beer.
And you remove the can later.
Yeah, you don't eat it with the can.
Right.
Exactly. I am.
Can I be blamed for my confusion about the eggs and the eggs and syrup? Yeah, sorry.
No,
that was some pretty hard white people shit. Yeah,
that was. I was very confused.
Yeah, like what? Yeah.
Well, that's what I heard.
So you're seated there, and then King Oberyn of Faerie, he appears, sat on the throne, top of the room, and he is a very lithe man with white hair and a skin of a bluish hue. And everybody gasps when he appears. The cat, obviously.
And he's sitting in the King Savage's throne?
Yes.
And, that feels rude.
He is very
beautiful. Papa Smurf. Get down from there.
He is extremely beautiful. He's a very
Hey, Sir Elfwine.
I didn't notice.
Maybe there isn't a queen wherever he's from.
You could be his Titania.
A fairy king.
Yes, it is I, the king of all the fairies. Oberyn, I'm here. Thank you for your hospitality. Now, thank you for your hospitality now. Sorry, did I...
Of course, yes. The end of the now to indicate you are going to continue to speak.
You look great.
Politely waiting.
Bless Gesundheit.
It is so good to see many of you. The Lady Drusilla, Dwarf, Sir Sun, Sir Moon... visiting knights from lands far away. And one of my compatriots, Robin, and he gestures to a man at one of the other tables who Sir Elfwine recognizes from Londinium.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. The guy smiles. He nods. He smiles away. Where's you? Always Feathers. Good to see.
Yep.
Always good to see Robin here. Now, please, who will regale me with a tale. Somebody regale me of a tale of your place and your time and your history. Something that encapsulates everything that you are, were, and will be.
And this is not a test. This is not one of the tests. This is just filler.
This feels like a thing Sir Caradoc would be good at. He's pretty good at orating, I think. Yes, isn't he?
I do have skill in orate. Yes. If you will permit me,
Lady Drusilla puts a hand on your leg.
just know that you need to know that courtesy is very important to King Oberyn. So if you're going to tell a story, make sure it's not a bawdy one.
Ah, I see. All right. Well, let me get it out now. Cock. All right, I'm ready. And I step forth and says, Your Majesty, allow me to regale you with the tale of a land, a place very far away and a long, long time ago. Imagine, if you will, a mighty craft crossing the field of view off into the distance above a great desert. And then an even impossibly larger craft is pursuing it through the skies. There's blackness all around, stars everywhere. Two mechanical men are walking through the halls of this great craft, worrying that, perhaps it is too late. It is all over this time. That their luck has run out. And I go on like that.
I wanted to see how long we could keep that going.
Yeah. Just like...
Tell it again, but change little details that didn't need to be changed.
I don't like that Han Solo shot first. That didn't feel very heroic of him. And how can I root for a man who wasn't pure heroism? I'm not buying this story.
Next time.
I wish there was a scene where the slug who's referenced later in the story showed up earlier.
Yes, but he should look terrible.
He should look
completely out of place. Yes,
one of the other characters should be sort of manipulated in a very inorganic way, up and over it.
Yes. Yeah. All right, I'll work on that. I'll tell it again in about 20 or so years, and we'll see how it comes out.
Could you please make a courtesy roll?
6 under 13.
Yeah.
Whoa. Please check your courtesy. It was already checked, wasn't it?
Yes.
Please gain 100 glory for entertaining Lord King Oberyn.
Nice.
The King of Faerie. And just as you finish that tale, as two of the three people who saved the princess were given a medal at the end of the tale, and there's a resounding applause through the hall, then everybody disappears. Not you four, everybody else.
Oh, good.
That's the end of the campaign.
They all just
blink out of existence.
Experience eternal oblivion.
Was that the final test? And we weren't supposed to know.
I don't know. Certainly seems like it. Is the cat around?
Yes.
Yeah, where's the cat?
Is scurrying along underneath the trestle tables, and it runs up to the throne. And it lays down next to the throne. And then your eyes are drawn up from where the cat is lying to the throne itself, where a squat man, the very fat belly, heaving breasts, and short, stubby arms, and a face which would be human but is more pig-like. And he has tusks, and he has a little crown on his head. It's not Mayor Boar. He sits there, and he smiles his pig-like smile at you. He leans in forward on his throne, and the cat leaps up onto his lap, and he begins stroking the cat with his hoof fingers.
I don't like it.
And he says, "Yes, welcome to the Kingdom of Savage. All of you have proven yourselves to me the most courteous, the most knowledgeable, the most kind of all people, and you are now worthy of my presence, the King Savage, and I will grant you one common courtesy in return. What is it you ask of me, valorous knights? Tell me now, lest my patience wear thin."
We only have one shot at this.
Yes?
If we picture Jared Gahoover. Jared Gahoover will appear and destroy us.
All right. I'll try to only think about Thomas. Your Majesty, we would like to take the boy Thomas home with us. We are responsible for him. We rescued him. We care for him. We believe he had a good life before coming here, and we would like to return him to that life. Would you do us this courtesy?
You care not that the boy's mother doth reside with me in the Forest Sauvage.
I asked her if she ever really thought of him, and she said, no, not really. I mean, she said, like, oh, I suppose a normal amount. And I said, well, what if I took him home with us? And she said, well, I don't really mind. She didn't seem, honestly, like it mattered to her that much. And she abandoned him to begin with. So I don't think it matters if she's here with him or not.
Well, yes, she seems to be living her best life here. But is the boy living his best life here?
He has a mother figure back home.
It seems is only a burden to you both. This would be a favor to both of you for us to take him away from you. So you may, as they say, live your best lives.
And this is what you all wish. You all wish for me to relinquish the boy Thomas to you all.
And if there was a way to shrink the forest a little bit, just a tiny bit.
A little bit.
So that just innocents weren't being consumed by...
At the risk of testing your majesty's patience, yes, we would ask another small, minor favor in addition to this, that you would abandon your kingdom and leave Britain altogether.
Well, hold on. I think he just means maybe stop the forest where it is right now.
Yes.
I've heard tell of this boy King Arthur.
Yes.
And if you are knights of his realm, then perhaps this realm that he is constructing is not one that I should fear, but one that I should encourage.
Yes, are all knights
of that realm knights such as yourselves?
Oh, big time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Fiona says nothing because she's too honest.
We're all, everyone's super cool. And do we have these armors cool? And
one of them's French.
Don't hold that against him.
No, only one, I meant.
There was a change upon this world that came recently. I felt completely crushed, absent, hanging in a world in which I could not grow, I could not see. I was in a point of stasis. And then something in the realm changed. Something early in the last few cycles, the last few phases of the moon, our rotations, and suddenly I was once again free, and I could feel the freedom of all of the old once again encroaching in the realm, and I know not why, but I will stay. I will hold the borders of my kingdom should your king prove to be as courteous as all of you. My newfound freedom I will not relinquish, for I spent too long in this strange stasis, as did all of my compatriots. You can let your boy king know that. At least that the King Sauvage is not wholly without heart. No.
Sure.
No, you have very much of a heart. We can tell, and we will tell him that, of course, yes.
We will tell him of your immense mercy.
He clicks his hooves like that, like more like a hoof noise, like clonk, clonk.
Right.
Bring out the boy, Thomas. And the doors open. And a boy, as a small boy of maybe 3-4 years old, mm-hmm. is escorted into the room by a tall, very shaggy looking man who you haven't seen. He's got a big beard and like he's like a plunging neckline. So, you know, Elf Wine's locked in. This guy's got a big shaggy beard. He's very tall.
Fallopian tubes. Love them. They are so erotic.
And he walks in, and the boy is clearly tired. He's been asleep. And the man lifts the boy up onto his hip, and he steps up to the King Sauvage, and he then takes a knee. And he hands the boy to the king, and the king takes the boy into his lap. The cat is like, meow, runs away because there's not enough room. And the king puts the boy on his lap and strokes the boy's hair so he can go back to sleep. And the king looks down at you and says, "So now I believe our business is concluded.
Thank you.
You may leave, and you will not need to return."
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You're most kind.
And then Elfline bows to, bows to the cat. And is like, very impressive how you're able to throw your voice through this.
Fiona will step forward to take Thomas the way she did when he was just a baby.
Yeah. Well, as you step forward, King Savage like pulls away from you. What are you doing? Don't come so close.
I'm sorry. I was just going to take the child.
Why would you take the child?
Well, we ask for the courtesy of Thomas coming home with us. And I thought you said yes.
There's this loud snorting noise, like... And he spits on the ground. And the big bearded guy next to you goes, well, then are we going to go? And it was Pendragon.
What?
Under an iron sky.
Who is the kid?
Irrelevant. Brian! The Shaggy Man.
That... You were right about the time thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the time thing is...
I was like, she was talking about him, like, becoming a squire, and I was like, oh, no, has he aged? Oh,
wow. So,
wow.
Sneaky.
He's old and
barely.
Man,
we wasted a boon on this dumb bearded bastard. Damn.
You could have fooled her again and taken his kid, the kid that's staying here, and just been like, hey, Lady Gwynhild, it's the same baby. What are you going to know?
Wow.
Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, is she even going to be alive when we get out of here?
Well, you look forward to bringing back this 22-year-old dude with a big beard and be like, hey, this is the guy.
Yeah,
you said
us
to go here.
Here he is.
Yeah.
We did it. Yeah.
Well, everyone can look forward to exploring the winter phase next week as the wonderful, often asked about Sir Quegan does return to the show. And it does mean that we have to say a exceedingly happy, fond farewell to Sir Elfwine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sir Elfwine.
I hope somebody makes a montage of like Sir Elfwine's proclamation of heterosexuality throughout his episodes.
Sir Elfwine is like, he needs to, it's like, I have to leave now. I am going to explore a new land known as Western Hollywood. I'm under the impression there are many a unchaste woman there for me to fondle. But I might be a while there just to really get in the nooks and crannies of that magical world. And then my animation cell goes up and I die away in my home.
As we go on through the campaign, I'm sure we will see Sir Elfwine return. And maybe he will be changed. Who knows?
Yes.
Maybe he'll grow a mustache.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
Yeah. Anything could happen. But thank you so much, Robert Kirkovic, for being here and joining us.
It was so great. I'm not chilling, but you can send me that hard copy book. This game is so fun. It's like, I was not expecting it to be, it's so cool, so different. I love it.
Yes.
You do all kind of things. You didn't even get to swing your sword, though, did you?
I didn't do it.
You killed some pigs.
Yeah, I did. That's true.
Yeah, I clove a pig person's head in twain.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were a person. Then you felt nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I felt nothing. Right.
Well, I hope everyone had a good time, but we will be back for the winter phase next week, and then a very special final two episodes of this season of Pendragon Under an Iron Sky. So I really hope that we see you all there, and please tell everybody about the show. And I forgot to mention at the top of the show, you can support the Glass Cannon by following them, becoming a patron of them on Patreon. I want to say patreon.com/glasscannon. Or if you just, I'm sure if you Google that collection of words, it'll come up. I don't have to do anything. Just type it in the internet.
Brian can't do everything for you.
You have to figure it out for yourself. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. And goodbye. We'll see you forever.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Ox Venture, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.